My dad, Pastor Salem, had an incredible gift for communicating the profound truths of God's Word in a way that can be easily understood and applied. This gift was evident in over 76 years of his ministry. I'm Mike Salem. Thank you for your continued comments of encouragement to us. We received a note from Wisconsin recently that read, "I started watching Pastor Salem 2 years ago and haven't stopped. His messages are an inspiration to me. Would you send me your booklet on salvation so I can pass it on to others?" In today's program, Dad outlines four characteristics on how we are to carry the messages of the Bible into all the world. Stay with us for Dad's sermon titled, "The Witness of the Gospel." God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I really tell you, I'm excited every weekend when we can get together, because I can just see you all over the world, and we're all worshiping the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, not everybody knows Jesus, and so they're coming to know Jesus, and they're joining the crowd, and we all join in worshiping the Lord. And then I'm thinking, I wish I could see them. And then I know I am going to see them. If you have the Lord in your life, if you accept Jesus, I'm going to see you in heaven. And won't that be something? Well, today we're going to talk about witnessing for the gospel, being witnesses of the gospel. And that'll help us as we think about living the Christian life. But we're reading from Psalm 102 today, where the psalmist says, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." Dear Heavenly Father, we know you are eternal. We can't really understand that because we're mortals. And because you have no beginning and you have no ending, we can't understand that either. But you tell us that those who want to honor you, that we have to believe what you say. And I believe it with all my heart. Because when I see the creation, the work of your fingers, and all that you have done, I know there is a great and a wonderful God, and he loves me. And so bless us in this service today, that we will just love you and serve you the best we can. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jan's going to sing a song, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." And God bless you, Jan.
Story of Jesus.
Thank you, Jan. While Jan was singing, I was thinking, I wonder how many times I've heard that song. I'm starting my 75th year in the ministry. I've heard it over and over and over, and every time I hear it, it sounds more beautiful. You never get tired hearing about Jesus. He is so beautiful, and he is so wonderful. And you can't imagine the part he plays in your life, watching over us and keeping us. So I never get tired of hearing about the story of Jesus. Well, we got some letters, good old letters. Oh, we just love them. And I'm going to get your pencil and paper ready because I'm going to give you the address pretty soon. We'd love to hear from you. And so we read all the letters, and if there are any questions that are given spiritual, sometimes we have all kinds of questions. Oh, dear Lord, have mercy. But if it's a spiritual, something to do with the soul, something to do with the Jesus, we'll answer that. We'll try to answer all of them, but we definitely will if it's a spiritual question. Well, the first letter is here is from Sioux City, Iowa. We're going to pass your DVD around to our family members, 5 children and 9 grandchildren in 5 states, then to many people in and around our area who either can't get out to church or not getting the preaching where they should go to church. And she is talking about the heart of a shepherd. This is a lady that came up. They came up from Sioux City, and we had the premiere showing of this picture. And she got a couple of copies, and this is what she's going to do. She's going to take it and show it to friends. And that's exactly, precisely what we had in mind with this movie, because it will show the way of salvation, how to pray and accept Jesus. And we already have some who've watched it, and I know at least 5 that said we watched that movie, that film, and we opened our heart to Jesus. We prayed the prayer to accept Jesus. You've got to receive him, as many as received him. So there has to be that time when you actually pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And so you just make a note of this, and we send this out on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, we'll send it anyway, and you show it to your friends. Heart of a shepherd. Just put shepherd, and we'll know what it means. Here's Hartford, South Dakota. I took your advice, and my husband and I now go to church on Sunday. And so that's just exactly what we want you to do. We don't substitute the TV for your church. Go to your church, and don't go to the church to see what you can get. See what you can give, see? And so here's these people that they've looked around. They felt led of the Lord to go. And they're going to church. And God tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So that's what they're doing. Good for them. Here's Sioux City, Iowa. Oh, look at here. Don't put your boots away yet, Pastor. Now, this is a cowboy writing. And I'll tell you why he does that. Because cowboys, they don't take those boots off. And when they're dead, maybe you can get them off. But a lot of them, I think, are buried with the boots on. They'd feel better, I guess, if they have feelings. It'd just be a better thing for them. And so that's, but I, the way I take it is, don't put your boots away yet. That I think he's saying, don't you quit your preaching. You stay right with it. You're 97 years old. You could have retired 40 years ago. But I just didn't want to do it. Didn't feel like the Lord wanted me to do it. And you know, I'm going to tell you a little secret. The Lord, you go to the Bible, and God never has a retirement in the Bible. Never, ever. Now, the priests, they had to retire when they're a certain age, but they stayed on and helped the young priests. And so that's what we see. You need to serve the Lord as long as you can. And when you get old and you can't get around so well, you can still witness and you can write and you can call people and you can work for the Lord. Well, listen, this is what God says. This is what God says. Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. How long? Till you're 65. Oh, wait a minute. No. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, till you die. That's why God's letting us live, is because there's work to do. And it may not be preaching. Lord, we don't want everybody to be preachers. We'd have an awful problem if everybody was a preacher. Wouldn't that be a mess? But you can witness and you can talk. And one lady, she calls on the telephone, talks to people. So, yep, I'll leave my boots on as long as the Lord lets me. Here's Germantown, Tennessee. I watch your program every Saturday. I really enjoy hearing the true gospel. No watering down or cotton candy preaching is coming out of your pulpit. I like hearing your old-time preaching. You tell the truth. You don't hold back the word. I appreciate hearing the real word of God. Well, you know what? God tells us in the last day they're not going to like good, solid preaching. They don't want to hear anything that crosses them. They want to be God themselves. See, they want to be God. But this is what God said. This is what Paul said. He writes to young Timothy, and he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It says itching ears, what it means. Listen, I'm going to tell you a little secret. I've been preaching now for 75, I'm starting my 75th year. I want to tell you something about preachers. We know when something, you're going to like something, and when you're not going to like it. We got itching ears. We want to hear. We like to get compliments. Who doesn't like to get compliments? And I always tell the young preachers, I says, well, now they brag on you and they compliment you. And I says, just treat it like you do perfume. Smell it, but don't swallow it. See? But the thing, the point is, they're going to get, so they don't want good preaching. They don't want to hear God's word. They want to live footloose and fancy free. So that's just the day we're in. That's all there is to it. Here's Republic, Missouri. Thank you for loving Jesus. I see Christian Worship Hour every time it is on. I love your ministries. Well, that's why we have the Christian Worship Hour, because we love Jesus and we love you and we want to see you come to Jesus. And if you're a Christian and you're having trouble, we want to comfort you and strengthen you and encourage you. That's what God told Isaiah. He said, comfort ye my people. They're in captivity. They're hurting. They're struggling. They're wondering if God has forsaken them. And sometimes people feel that way. And one lady, we just got a letter just a long time ago, not long ago. And she says, I ask God all the time. He never hears my prayers. I just don't feel him. Well, the first thing, don't try to feel him. Just believe. Just believe. He's there, and the time will come when you just know. You just know he's there. And so we sing this Jesus. And now we have a little Bible study called The New Song. And this month, our study is on the perfections of Jesus. And you'll just love it. And take your pencil and paper, get it ready. I'll tell you how you can get it. It's free and postpaid. And it's the perfections of Jesus. It's a little Bible study. London, England. They would like to pre-order the Heart of a Shepherd DVD and Beating Temptation DVD. And so I didn't know what to do, so I went to Kent. And he knows all about electronics. There's nothing he doesn't know about electronics. And I says, would they be able to download that over in London? Sure. So he emailed them. He told them how they could do it. And they can get it just as, we don't have to send a letter or anything. They can take it, they can download it off of ChristianWorshipHour.com. Isn't that marvelous? Sometimes those, they just drive me crazy with all this email stuff, but there are some blessings on it. Here, oh, look at here. What is this? Hyde Park, New York. God bless you every day. Keep on keeping on. I pray for the rapture every day. I pray everyone is ready to meet Jesus. You are my fire preacher for Jesus Christ. What a blessing you are to all of us. A fire preacher. Well, you know, that may remind me of a different kind of preachers and remind me of a little student nurse. She was working up at the hospital, and they brought a preacher in, and they told her to take his temperature. And she was nervous. She didn't know what the preacher would do. She's kind of nervous. And she, instead of taking a thermometer, she took a barometer. And she came back and she says, you know what reads? It says, dry and windy. Well, that could happen to me. Only you could say dry and windy and fiery. So I'm a triple threat. So let's go. And we'll have a good time doing it too. One more letter, Chatsworth, Georgia. I live in my new senior apartment complex. It's a beautiful place in the mountains of North Georgia. And oh, I bet it would be beautiful. Our manager wants us to have a service for an hour during the week. And I hope you won't mind me using a new song for the part of the worship. God bless you. And so here they are way off in Georgia, beautiful country. I can, if there's mountains, I love the mountains. And she's using the new song. And so that's, we know that there are prisoners that use the new song. There are people that use it in Sunday school for their lessons. It's a little Bible study. And I want to tell you how you can get it. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, 2002, 57402. Or if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And I hope you'll send us a gift to help us in the work. And we never beg for money. We don't put a lot of time on money, and we don't sell books and all those and gimmicks and water from the Jordan River and things like that. We just tell you we have a need. James says, you have not because you ask not. You don't tell them. If you don't tell them you have a need, why would they send it? You're not asking for anything. You must have plenty. Maybe you're giving it away. I don't know. But you can write, you can just count on it that we have to pay our bills like anybody else. And we're not underwritten by any organization or denomination, but we're only God's people as they send the gifts. So you send it in, and I'm going to give it again for our people that are in our shortwave people, and that is a Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-57402. And we just love to hear from you. And then if you want to get the new song, you just say new song, and we'll send that along. And this week, or this month, we're talking about the perfections of Jesus, how he was perfect in all these ways. And there's Bible studies. You can look up the verses and study them and work on them. And we just love to send them. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Bangladesh. In this passage is talking about John. There was a man whose name was John, and that is John the Baptist. He's talking about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist is a forerunner for Jesus. He's going to prepare the way, and then when Jesus comes on the scene, then John steps away, and he says, he must increase, I must decrease. And so it's John chapter 1, beginning with the 6th verse. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Lord and to gather the people together so that when Jesus came, the crowd was already there waiting for the preacher, waiting for Jesus to come and to minister. And so we just thank you for John the Baptist. We thank you for others who are such great witnesses for you. And as we think of his life, may we think of our own life, that's what we do too, Lord. We prepare the way for your coming. We tell others about Jesus. Maybe it's our children. Maybe the little children. We can tell them how beautiful Jesus is, how wonderful he is, and how kind he is. My mother did that all the time. She did the work of John the Baptist in my life. And when Jesus came, I was already anxious to open my heart to him. And so we thank you for John the Baptist and his message and all the messengers of God. And in our message today, Lord, may we become servants of the Lord who proclaim the truth of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for the persecuted church again today in the church at Bangladesh. And we just think about them so often and the awful trials they go through. And yet, Lord, we are told how that they rejoice that they're able to suffer for Christ and how that they're so happy that they can be servants of the Lord and even give their life for you, and how they give them, and how they will gladly go die for you, Lord. Oh, I just wish, I hope I could do that, Lord. And so we just pray for them and pray that they'll understand and know that we love them, care for them, and maybe they can get the Christian worship hour. I know some of them can. I know in North Korea they can, it's good and strong. And so help them to know that they are a blessing to us. They encourage us and us in all of other parts of the world. We're stronger because we see their strength and we draw from them. And maybe they can draw from us because they know we love them and we stand behind them. And most of all, you are with them and will never leave them or forsake them. So we pray for our service today, Lord. We just pray that we'll honor Jesus and everything we do and say will be pleasing in his sight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, was before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Turning back.
Thank you. God bless you. And that's what we have to do, is put your hand to the plow and never turn back. That's what Elisha did when he was called to the ministry. Elijah threw his mantle on this young man, Elisha, and he's out plowing with his oxen out in the fields. And his all of his plow and everything is wooden. And he's called in to be the follow Elijah and take his place. Elisha kills his animals as a sacrifice. He uses the his plow to make a fire, to make a sacrifice. And he went out and he was burning the bridges behind him. He never would go back. Once you put your hand to the plow, stay with it. You know, we can't all be successful and we can't all be popular and we can't be all that other things, but we can all be faithful. Every one of us. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, and that is serving the Lord and being witnesses of the gospel. And so when we talk about the gospel, what are we talking about? Well, Paul writes about, and he tells us what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15, on the opening verses. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And then here it is. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. Jesus Christ died for my sins. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's what we mean when we talk about the gospel. So Jesus tells us we're to carry the message. All of us are to carry the message of the gospel into the world. We're to be his ambassadors. We're to be his witnesses. We're to shine for Jesus to the whole world. And so I want you to look at four characteristics of these witnesses. The first of all, the witness has to be a person, a living person, a human being. You say, well, why couldn't the messengers be angels? Because they are messengers. That's what they do. They bring messages from God, like when they came to Mary or when they came to Paul when he was in prison and so on. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, the angels can't do it. And you know why they can't do it? Because they never sinned. They don't know what it is to have their sins forgiven. They never sinned. They're perfect. And so God says, I'm going to have somebody that has fallen and somebody that's been redeemed. And when they preach, they can say what a glory it is that this wonderful salvation, I've been redeemed. It's the most glorious thing in the world. And so the ball is in our court. The human beings, the people, the Christian people, born again people need to witness and to preach the gospel. So this man, John the Baptist, was one of the men that did that. He was the one that was carrying the gospel. We're told, for instance, in John 5:35, he says, "He was a burning and a shining light." In Matthew 11, verse 9, "He is more than just a prophet." And in Matthew 11, verse 11, Jesus said of John the Baptist, he said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater prophet, a greater than John the Baptist." And so the point we want to make is this. John the Baptist was a person. He's a human being just like the rest of us. And if Jesus, if he can be a witness, so we can all be a witness. And the angels have to look on. Witnesses have to be human beings. And I thought too, as I was working on this sermon, I should talk a little bit about how that if you had an angel, for your preacher, you wouldn't have to pay him a salary, and he never gets sick, and he worked 24 hours a day, and he would be just perfect. But the poor thing has never been saved. He doesn't know what redemption is. So he's not qualified. And God just takes poor, lost, broken sinners and uses them. Then the second thing I put down is they have to be faithful even unto death. One of the assignments when John was witness, he was put to death because of his witness. And he was faithful no matter what it cost. He had to make a witness before King Herod Antipas. And Herod was guilty of a very grave offense. And both by the laws of man and the laws of God, he was a terrible sinner. And that is, he was living in an adulterous relationship with his own brother Philip's wife, Herodias. And because of the high position and the great power that Herod had, nobody dared tell him. Nobody dared say a word against him. Nobody could come and say, this is wrong, this is evil, and you got to break from it. Nobody could do that except John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came, he looked him squarely in the eye, and with thunder in his voice, he said, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And so John preached repentance. And you see, John preached that all the time. You have to turn from your sins. You accept Jesus, you follow Jesus, but you have to put your sins behind you. And you have to live that life as perfect as you can. And you'll never be perfect. So don't be putting yourself down and feeling we're all poor lost sinners. We sin all the time. But our aim is to be like Jesus and live that perfect life. And so as long as John preached to Herod on different occasions. And as long as John preached repentance in a broad, general way, and as long as he preached to the entire group and mobs were gathered around him, and so John, he preached forgiveness of sins in a manner would apply to everybody and not just to Herod alone, see? And then Herod listened, and he halfway liked the sermon. And he said one time, we'd like to hear from you again. So there was something there. But when John made that message too pointed, too plain, when he made it too personal, when John put his finger fearlessly and explicitly on Herod's sin, then Herod's indignation was stirred to the bone. His anger was aroused and his feelings were hurt. His evil was exposed for all the world. The finger was put on him and he was mad, downright mad. And he had John the Baptist arrested and put into prison for preaching. So sometimes later, as we all know, in order to satisfy the hatred of a woman scorned, Herodias makes a request. And Herod tells her in this drunken party, you ask me anything you want and I'll do it for you. And Herodias went to her mother and he says, get John's head. And so Herodias goes to Herod and he says, I want the head of John the Baptist. I want your head. I want his head cut off. The world didn't want to do it and it hurt him to do it, but he did it. And John was beheaded. You know what? That was the world at work on Herod. And that same old world is with us, and it is just the same as it was in old Herod's day. We want preaching. The world wants preaching, but a part of them wants to know about God. But they want preaching, but not like John the Baptist. If you put preaching and you single out sins and you point out sins on people, they want to have your head cut off. And so far in America, that's been illegal, but in parts of the world, their head is cut off because these people are saying there's only one God. Jesus Christ is Lord. I'll never renounce him. I'll never turn. And these other people that are so taken up in their wicked sins have them put to death. Yes, beheaded. So what do the people do in this modern day? They go to church, but they don't go to the church with John the Baptist as the pastor. Believe me, they steer clear of that church. They go to a church where God is love, 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 love. He's so loving, he would never let anybody go to hell, put anybody in hell. He's so loving you if you love. You can live as you please. He loves you. There's no boundaries. There's no sacrifice. There's no self-denial. There's no total abstinence. When have you heard of total abstinence in anything? There's no born-again stuff, no surrender, no suffering, no hell, and no mention of the blood. And if you preach about it, you don't sing about it and preach about it. Get it out of the way. Oh, they're too sophisticated for that, and they're going with the preaching where the preacher's always saying, oh, you just are in wonderful hands. God loves you so much that he'll never turn you down. You can spit in his face. You can do anything you want. You can take his name in vain. You can live the worst kind of a life. You can do anything you want to do, but you're not. But your God loves you. And then they come to the point. You can't tell me that a loving God would put anybody in hell. And I'm going to tell you something right now, my friend. God doesn't put you in hell. You put yourself there. This is what happens. God gave us a soul. We all have a soul. And the devil wants your soul, and Jesus wants your soul. And there's a battle there. And there's a battle going right now. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. And you have an inkling that you maybe should turn. You would like to turn to the Lord. You would like to come to Jesus. And you ought to make that prayer. You want to make that prayer for Jesus. And then another fellow will say, oh, now don't do that now. Just wait and wait till your birthday. Wait till your anniversary. Wait till Christmas. So there's a battle. There's a struggle going right now. And it's a struggle between Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the devil. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He will never, ever say that. He'll say, put it off. He'll say, wait. Or he'll say, just be neutral. And when you get to, and you get people all the time, you want to, you're a devil or Jesus, and they're neutral. But Jesus says, if you, whoever is not for me is against me. You got to be out and out for Jesus. And if you don't declare Jesus, you're for the devil. That battle is going on in lives right now. And what you have to do is you have to make the decision. Jesus doesn't decide for you, and the devil doesn't decide for you, and your wife doesn't decide for you. And I always say that because usually it's the men that hang back, but not always. But you can't do it for your children. You can't do it for your friends. There's only one person going to decide where you go, and it's yourself. It's your own decision. You choose Jesus or you choose the devil, and you can put it off. And then the devil has you put it off because he knows if you put it off, well, here you have that calling. And there's something just saying, I want to come to Jesus. But that voice will kind of drift away, and you won't have that call anymore, and it won't be as strong anymore, and you'll just kind of give up, and no, you won't. You'll just drift away. And you'll die in your sins, and you'll go where the devil goes, to a lake of fire. And so when we preach, that's what Herod wanted. He didn't want to really hear the real gospel. He wanted to hear it all watered down. He wanted a sermon that didn't cross his lifestyle. He wanted a sermon that made him feel good, even if he lived like a skunk or a terrible man. And so when John the Baptist put his finger at him, pointed at him, said, you're the sinner and you need to repent. Church was over, as far as John the Baptist, Herod was concerned. John the Baptist was too tough for him. And so today that it's coming to you, the world demands, just like Herod demanded 2,000 years ago. They're saying, don't preach, don't cut me down. Don't make me feel bad. And if you do, if you say one thing, for instance, makes them feel bad, they call it hate speech. And you have, and you know what? In some quarters, you can be jailed for hate speech because you cross people too strongly, and they call it hate speech. Thankfully, they're not doing that here in the United States, but in some parts of the world, it is. And so let me say a word about hate speech. Hate speech is really love speech. You call it hate speech, but it's really love speech. And I'll tell you why it's love speech. Is love speech because it'll save your soul from hell. They're warning you there's a hell. And I'm telling you, there's a hell and you need to turn to Jesus and to forsake your sins. That's not hate speech, that's love speech. I'm telling you this to save your soul. Hate speech, you bet. See, here's a man, he goes to the doctor. And the doctor diagnoses him and he says, this man has cancer. But the doctor says, everything is fine. You're fit as a fiddle. Now that's hate speech, see? He's saying something. When he says, you've got cancer and you need treatment immediately, that's not hate speech, that's love speech. And when I tell you, or when John the Baptist tells you that if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell, that's not hate speech. That's love speech, because we're concerned about your soul. And that's exactly what John was all about. And the love speech, that is hate speech, because that's putting you, they're not taking care of your soul. And you're going to lose a life, you lose your soul for eternity. And the most precious thing you have is your soul. Jesus said, what shall man give in exchange for his soul? He's saying, if you've lost your soul, if you've given your soul into the way and into sin, how can you get it back? And there's no way you can't get it back. Jesus has to bring it back. You can't get rid of those sins. Jesus goes to the cross and he sheds his blood and dies on that cross. And you know something that it tells us in the book of Hebrews? It tells us that Jesus loved us so much that when he went to the joy, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus rejoiced to go to the cross because he could save your soul. And you don't turn your back on him. And when people make fun of you or maybe try to hold it off, you say, no, I know Jesus wants me to come and I want to come. And there's something he's knocking at my heart's door. You pray right now, this moment. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. And I'll turn from my sins and please come into my heart. And Jesus will do it. And then you thank him. And you'll have everlasting life, eternal life. And so you have to have somebody that then will lead you and guide you. He'll help you and direct you in life. And I can tell you now, for 86 years, going on 87, Jesus has never forsaken me once. And I've failed him so many times. I'm sorry for that. But this wonderful Jesus will help us. And he'll never forsake us. And as many times as I sin, what does it say in the scripture? It says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Great Jesus said, grace is greater than all of our sins. And you just go to him. You make that prayer in your own way, young or old. And if you're old, you ought to do it right away, because time is short and you don't know how much time you'll have. And so this wonderful Jesus comes and he makes that way plain. And then he says, it tells us that we have to be careful, because when we come to the Lord, we will have to be turned, because he taught repentance. Jesus taught repentance, and repentance means turning. And as we've told us so many times, you can't do it all by yourself. You have to have help. And so when you come to Jesus, just come as you are. You know, some people, I talk to people and they say, well, I'm one thing, if I join the church, if I come to the church, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to have them look down on me and count me as a hypocrite. And I'm going to clean up first. And if you want to clean up first, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. Because that old nature is hopeless. It's helpless. You can't clean it up. And it's so bad that God gives us a new nature. When we accept Jesus, he gives us a new nature. And if you kind of trying to clean that old nature, it's just like the woman. She lived in a sod house, and a sod house used to have dirt floors. And she says, "Oh, I want to clean my house. I want to clean it up." So she gets water and she gets soap and she scrubs the floor. And what does it do? It turns to mud, and it's just a mess. And the harder she works, the worse it gets. And if you try to clean up your life before you come to Jesus, the more you work on it, the harder you work on it, the worse it's going to get. And so you have to just get some help. And so when you come to Jesus, he says, yes, it is a mess. I can't clean it up. I don't not take care of that. I'll wash you of all your sins and I'll give you a new nature. And that new nature will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then Paul comes along and he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When I put my faith in Jesus Christ, he will help me. He'll make me so that I can do all things. And that is everything in the will of God. And if he wants you to live that Christian life, he'll help you to live it. He'll help us to overcome that wonderful Savior. And so the final word I want to say is this, and that is, you have to use the Word of God. You have to have the Bible. It's got to be according to the Scriptures. I talk to people all the time, and they have the idea if they do good works, they'll get to heaven. And they just think that if they have, when they die, there's going to be those scales. And if there's more bad works, then they're going to go to hell. If there's more good works, then they're going to go to heaven. And God's going to measure them by their works. You ask 10 people if they're going to go to heaven, and why do they think they get to go to heaven? And I'll guarantee that 8 out of 10 will bring in good works somehow. And so what we have to do is listen to God, and God tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And Paul tells us in Romans, to him that worketh not, but believeth. You'll never get to all of our good works are like filthy rags, God tells us. And so we have to be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. And God tells us, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3, verse 36. And when you take that scripture and look at that scripture, you'll find that it's all believing. Sometimes we get letters from people and they say, I don't feel saved. I don't feel the Spirit. I don't feel that I'm anointed. And don't go by feelings, because you can feel. I knew a man one time, he felt like $1 million. The next day he was dead. And you can't go by feelings. And you go by faith. And that's what this says in John 3, 36. Says, he that believeth on the Son. He doesn't say that you feel. It doesn't say that you experience some thrill or some thrill or something like that. It doesn't mean that you're going to be just, you know, maybe doing, I don't know, we get some. I had one to tell me that they got goose pimples when they accepted the Lord. And maybe they did, because everybody's different. I wouldn't put him down. But don't go by that measure, because you can't get there. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So here it is, dear friends, it's all in your court. You make that choice, as I say, no one can make it for you. And so when you, Holy Spirit's giving you, just have that feeling, I need Jesus, you need to come right now. Because if you don't, then all you have to do, then you have to face the wrath of God. And when God sees that, he hates sin. And he hates sin so much that when Jesus had sin on the cross, God the Father turned his back on Jesus. And there was darkness at midday. That's how much he hates sin. His own Son had sin. And God turned his back on his Son and wouldn't look on him and let him alone. And Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I heard a preacher one time, he says, Jesus was mistaken. God hadn't turned his back on him. But the preacher was mistaken, because God turned his back because Jesus carried our sins. And if you die in your sins, God can't take you into heaven if he wanted to. You have to come to Jesus. And that's what we do on the Christian Worship Hour all the time. We just preach it over and over, telling people, call on the name of the Lord, come to Jesus. And I know you can do a lot of good works, but they count for nothing. It's just to come to the Lord. And so we're going to pray in just a minute. I'm going to pray that you'll open your heart to Jesus and that you'll ask him to come into your heart. And I don't know. This might be your last chance to have this opportunity. This might be the time that you have to come. Because if you don't, then little by little, it'll only get easier to say no. Until the Holy Spirit will come to speak and you won't ever hear that knock, because you drifted away, you resisted the Lord. Don't do it. So we're going to pray. Now when we pray, We're praying that you'll make that just in your own words. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll help multitudes. Just help millions of people all over the world pray just in their own way and just to tell you that they're a sinner and that you then ask you to forgive their sins. And then, Lord, help them to promise that they'll turn from their evil ways. You taught repentance. They will follow you the best they can. And then have them thank you. And thank you, Lord. We believe that all, many, many places, people are coming to you. And then, dear Lord, we want to pray for those who have drifted away. Maybe they knew you one time and they walked with you. And now you're talking to them. And like the prodigal son, when the prodigal son came home, the father ran to meet him and greeted him and took him and hugged him. And that's what God wants you to do. If you drifted away from the Father, you just come back and make that same prayer that, forgive me for my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. We pray for, Lord, we pray for the children. I know there are children that watch us in their little hearts, their tender little hearts. It's so easy for them to just to ask you to come into their hearts. Maybe many do that. And the young people, Lord, with all of their temptations and troubles and things that are going wrong, just help them to turn to you. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send a gift or write, get us on the Christian Worship Hour, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And when you give your gift, you can remember that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books, and every penny you give will go into mission work. So we hope that you'll do that. And if you want to have this film on Heart of a Shepherd, you can show it to friends and you don't have to witness or anything. Just show it to them and it'll witness for you. And you could be the means of bringing many to the Savior. So we just hope and pray that you'll do that. And we'll be thinking about you and you think about us. And let's pray for each other all over the world. Pray for those who have special needs. Pray for the persecuted church and pray for the Christian Worship Hour. Because we're so anxious, because it doesn't matter what a person has, if he doesn't have Jesus, if he's not born again, you have no hope in this world or the world to come. So let's all pray together. And then tell your friends, tell them to tune us in and say, here's a preacher, listen to him. He's an old man and maybe he knows something. I don't know if he does or not, but why don't you check him out and see, and then they'll hear the word of God. And then God will take his word and the Holy Spirit will take the word and he'll apply it to people's hearts and they'll turn to Jesus and they'll be born again and we'll see him in heaven. Oh, we're all so anxious to see that you come to the Lord. That's the whole thing we have. And we pray for that God to comfort you and help with you. And then we'll look for you next weekend. And next week, we'll be looking again at that wonderful, wonderful word that never grows old. The story that we never tire hearing. The wonderful story of Jesus and his love. And God, we thank you for loving us. And thank you for helping us to love others. And in all things, may you be glorified and honored. All glory to you in Jesus. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.